Okay, sorry for the late delay, but we're underway and My name is Michael Novick. I'm the chair of the KPFA Legislation Board, and I'd like to ask the secretary to call the roll.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Chuck Anderson.
Presente.
Antje Anteren. Rodrigo Argueta. Frank Blair. Lydia Persong.
Here.
John Cronshaw. John Cicimio, to see you. Ariana Gladney.
Here.
Paige Graywell. Leonard Eisenberg.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
No more.
Frank Wunder.
On Vesa.
6, 7, 8.
It means I'm here.
Jim Lafferty.
He requested to see that since the end of the
Ali Lexa. Brenda Medina.
Here.
Dutch Merrick requesting you back.
Yeah. He may be here for the labor session.
Michael Novick.
Present.
John Parker.
Here.
Summer Reed. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
John Wenger. Lamont Yakey.
And we'll see right on the page, Rebel. Okay, so we do have a quorum in addition to John Decimio, and so the first order of business actually is not on the agenda, but we received a resignation from the local station board of Sequoia Olivia Mercier, and the next alternate would be John Decimio for the last election that we held. So if there's no objection, we'll see John as a member of the station board. Seeing none. Sure, you want to stand up and introduce yourself a second time? This is John Decimio. Okay, so John will be seated and added to the attendance, and we do have a quorum with or without him. Ground rules for communication are that we try to be polite and wait to be called not to speak. Please do not interrupt. Don't call out. There are four periods of listener comments, 7.5 minutes each, for a total of 30 minutes that are scattered throughout the agenda to give people a chance to comment on items which are adopted or voted on by the board. And the rules of the quorum apply to both members of the board as well as members of the public. And I'll try to enforce them a little more strictly. And I think last meeting we had some problems. The excused absence requests were for Jim Lafferty, James Lafferty, and Dutch Merrick. And Dutch might be arriving later, but he had to work basically overnight at his job and didn't think he'd get here in time this month. But it's acting. Are there any objections to accepting those requests for excused absences? Seeing none, consider them excused. Other people hopefully will be arriving later. Approval of the minutes. Do we have minutes?
Yes.
Okay, Lawrence, you ready?
I move that we suspend approval of the minutes. Postpone.
Okay, so hold the minutes for a little later.
What about the motion?
Yeah, all right. Is there
why are we postponing approving the minutes?
I haven't seen them.
Were they distributed?
They're distributed electronically.
Yeah, I'll
how long?
Download anything.
I mean, if we approve the minutes can, and if somebody objects to it, can they make a motion to revise the minutes in the future?
Sure. Learn.
Well, I object. I disagree with postponing the minutes.
Right.
Okay, the reason why I moved to postpone the minutes for two reasons. I did not receive a copy of the minutes electronically, as well as we have a time certain at 2:45, and I believe that we need to entertain the public as well.
Hey, I forgot my dancing shoes.
All right, let's try to make this quick, please. Marty,
I'm sure you could dance right now.
I'd just like to clarify, I'll just put out the minutes.
Pardon me, could you please, can we got, use a mic?
Yeah, here. Lawrence, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when I offered to print up things to take care of the agenda in the minutes, I certainly would have printed up the minutes for the audience and for the board had I known they needed to reprint it up. I printed out all the financial stuff. So in the future, if we could, I don't know, just make one person responsible, maybe me, to get the minutes printed out, because I feel like this somehow got derailed, and I don't know why.
There's no need to correct you, Marjorie. What I was asked to do was to print out the GM's report, and that's what I did. If I wasn't known that you wanted to do the minutes, I would have gladly done that.
I would like to extend a motion to accept the minutes as distributed, pending later reconsideration. Brenda?
I call a question.
Okay, I'll consider that Ken made that motion, and the question has been called. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as circulated electronically, pending later correction, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 I think the ayes have it.
You think?
I'm going to need a count. What the hell?
All right, raise your hand if you accept the minutes as circulated electronically, pending later correction if necessary. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? Okay, 3. That's 7. 1.
2.
2.
2.
Oh, okay.
All right, not your rival, Mr. Poncho. Scheduling future meetings. The next scheduled meeting we have is Wednesday, August 15th. I don't believe we have a venue as yet, although we're looking for a venue on the east side based on the rotation that we've been doing. Unless anybody has a location that's ready to sign, we'll move on to the P&B director reports. And yes?
Could I do an announcement?
Okay.
So I want to thank DHHS for allowing us to meet in our space. And for those of you who don't know, DHHS is a cultural center bookstore that provides a lot of different services here in the Northeast San Fernando Valley. They're very much into the arts, and I'm going to make a shameless plug because I got a request to. They just published, so not only are they a cultural bookstore, a community space, that keeps the arts alive in this area. They also have a publishing house, and they just printed their book, Rushing Water, Rising Dreams, which is about the arts in the Northeast San Fernando Valley. So if you all want to catch copies at the end of this, it'd be a great opportunity. And if not, also, it's also a documentary. So there's a documentary that's out that talks about the arts in the Northeast San Fernando Valley and just talks about the valley, the Northeast in general. So very, very important history that sometimes gets forgotten. So, yeah.
I was asked, by the way, to use last names because we have about 4 Johns now and 2 Freds, so I'm using last names as much as possible for recognized people. I actually have 2 quick announcements. We need to look for some volunteers to work on a waivers committee. I have 2 requests from the National Election Supervisor. One was to see if we can please convene the Committee of Inclusion, because the Committee of Inclusion is charged with attempting to recruit a broad spectrum of diversity of candidates for the local station board election, and that's an important responsibility. I was wondering if Ariana, I know there's one of the people that have to do it, and maybe she could be the convener. If we could try to schedule a meeting by the end of this meeting, just sometime in the very near future, because the period of record is just, you know, going to begin shortly. Also, we were asked to look to the question of waivers for people who are not able to pay the $25 or to contribute. So I'd like to ask the 2 or 3 members of the legislation board to ask the committee to accept those waivers and we can direct this to them. We Mark Reyes, recommended. Anybody else? Okay, Paige. I did print out some of the forms we used in the last election, and they'll be available here. If anybody who is here today is not currently a listener or a sponsor and does not have the opportunity to either make a $25 donation or is capable of doing that or of spending 3 hours, we do have a provision for waivers for shut-ins and other people. And you can talk to those three members, Ms. Redwell, Mr. Reyes, or Mr. Clark, I think those are three. Can you note that in a minute?
Reyes, Clunger, Redwell.
Okay, that's it. I think those three. Thank you. Okay, so the first item on our agenda is the PNB Director Report, and in general, we're trying to keep everything today focused on the question of the budget. There has been some discussion about a budget crisis facing the network. They tend to make severe cuts across the network. The Pacific National Board is urging the local station boards and with the general manager in trying to deal with that question. We also have to later today address the question of the budget for the next fiscal year. So although there are probably a lot of things that happen, we could focus the discussion on the budget questions and any of the PNB directors who'd like to talk to that.
Can I make a motion that we wait until the other two PNB members show up?
Basically, this is our focus. The PNB has a motion that they passed, so I think it would inform us. It was attached to the minutes, but I think it probably gives us have some discussion. I'm going to say that we should start it. The general manager will not be here today. He also asked for excuse absence. He said yesterday was the first thing, and he had a long planned trip. Yes, his name is Bernard Duncan. He's normally been at every meeting. He's not here today. He does have a written report, which I think was circulated, and we'll be discussing that. Ms. Brazone.
Okay, so are we starting? There are three directors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the next member. Anyway.
The only thing, you know, that we can do is, like, touch on a few highlights. And then, quite frankly, I think that the sessions that we had, which were quite valuable in terms of the depth of discussion of the finances, very enlightening to most of us, can be found at kpftx.org. And the finance motions that were passed or defeated start on Saturday afternoon after 3 was the first motion asking for more information regarding the $1 million cut that was defeated, followed the next day by a motion to support the $1 million cut, and that too was defeated. And then finally on Monday there was a motion requesting both the managers as well as the LSCs to chime in on the proposed cut and our budget, which, by the way, I want to point out that the LSBs have been negligent in not making the quarterly assessment of the budget. It's supposed to happen every quarter. The LSBs should be discussing budget and make any adjustments to the budget or recommended adjustments to the budget, and so we should be doing this. So this is theoretically the end of June, that quarter adjustment. We should have had this scheduled regardless of that particular motion. There were several other highlights. My particular highlight was in all the years that I've been at Pacifica, I've never had the national offices opened, even though I've been to the Berkeley station a number of times, or not a number of times, a few times. And so this is really important because of the budget issue. And there is a Thai restaurant, or it was a Thai restaurant, there's a piece of property that is a Thai restaurant that they've been trying to lease for a couple of years. And having seen it, I can see why it's not leased. And so what I want to do is put up, however, it isn't like work hasn't been done, and other aspects can certainly be discussed. Also, the national office itself is in serious disarray, just the physical structure in terms of things that can be easily fixed but haven't been fixed. And so, but it's prime property. They just built the Trader Joe's across the street, and the station itself is gorgeous for anyone. It's definitely the jewel of the network. But the adjacent properties are not. But Pacifica owns them outright. So the single parcel is both the restaurant and the national office. It's all one parcel at this time. It can't be divided. It doesn't have to be, in my opinion. But it could easily be fixed up so that it can be shown properly in order to have at least, I'm going to take that upon myself to explore the volunteer ways of doing that and funding that outside of what we have budgeted. And I think it's extremely feasible. That's what I do during the day. so I do know that. And it's not like no one has done it. Max Bunchet had a team of architects who did the architectural design of how it can all be reconfigured. There are some access issues in terms of shared elevators. But so anyway, so there were some positive things, and those things did have a bearing on the budget. So there are resources beyond, you know, some of the more negative information that we've seen. But I urge everyone to really go online. I support everyone hearing both sides, and then you make up your own mind. There are two sides. There is valid information from both sides, so I urge you to go to kpftx.org, go to archives, and then just follow the date. Thank you.
I'm going to actually take my priority as the chair for a minute just to point people's attention to the motion that was passed by the PMB. It's on the back of the agenda that was circulated. We resolve the PMB instruct the executive director to manage Pacifica's projected budget deficit for the current fiscal year as follows. Within 1 week, within 1 week, each station manager and the directors of the archives and the affiliates program shall prepare a thorough and realistic analysis of the station's projected revenue and expenses, including required payments to the national office for the current year. In the event the analysis indicates a budget deficit, the station manager shall include with his report his plan for balancing the station's budget at the end of the fiscal year or her. The analyses and plans shall be submitted to the executive director of the PMB for approval. The local station board should allow us to schedule special meetings to assist the station managers in developing their reports and plans. This is not a special meeting, it's a scheduled meeting, which is going for a week, but I think we do need to address this. Just to set a little bit of the stage, the executive director had previously ordered $1 million in cuts across the network at all five stations, and there was some attempt to carry that out. There was a great deal of upset response by the staff in particular, and at a number of stations, most of them here signed a letter addressing the question, and the response to all of that was this resolution adopted by the National Board on Monday.
Okay, yeah, I was up there too. It's a very interesting city because they have a restriction on development. So it's lots of local restaurants, all ethnic diversity around the University of Berkeley. So it's very street, rural. There's only a few McDonald's and this and that scattered around, and one Trader Joe's. And it's nice up there. And the station's interesting. What Lydia said is essentially correct. I got a different viewpoint on looking in the restaurant. I was very interested because the business manager told me that her first thing she did was trying to lease it, and she couldn't lease it for $1 a foot because of the rentals required. And also there's a property across the street, a commercial property that's been vacant for 2 years, and they were only able to rent it out to the rowing team to use for exercises. But given Lydia's experience in real estate, she may be able to construct or architect some kind of rehabilitation. I was told there's $30,000 worth of earthquake reinforcement required on the restaurant, and additionally there's a river running underneath the streets that once or twice a year floods the floor when the levels come higher. So there are issues, and that flood also goes into the main building. But again, there's, you know, real estate's changing market. We have a certainly entertained assistance from anybody on the board to make it happen. However, I cannot endorse anybody using the two words off budget. I don't believe it. It would be a national office project because the property belongs to the foundation, not to any station, and it should be on budget.
because off-budget is like outside of management and governance purview and oversight. There was one other thing, which I'm sure most people have heard about, so I want to address it. In closed session, a motion was made and a report out was given. The executive director and the chief financial officer of Pacifica Foundation have been working there for about 2.5 years, and both of their contracts extended through November 30th of this year. And the board voted to option to not renew those contracts at this time, but inviting both of them to reapply. So to me, that's like a free agent in baseball. Your contract's completed, congratulations, and now when we do our next contract, you can reapply. I think that's a good principle to use because it always will, as we go forward with that, give us the option of surveying the field to see if we can improve our management in any way. So I think it's a good, healthy thing. That's what happened. But I want to make it very clear, there's no termination at all. The ED is the ED, the CFO is the CFO. They're still on contract and they still hold those positions. And that was reported out, I guess, Monday morning, I guess. And other than that, it was cordiality, reasonable food, and a great hotel called the Durant Hotel, and a very nice party. And I had a great time meeting Miss Jesuit and another luminary called Richard Perotsky. No, not Perotsky.
Parente.
Parente. Michael Parente. Yeah, wonderful. A luminary.
Okay, thanks.
So that was it.
First time.
No,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I also just touched on four things. The first thing to announce is that a budget for a Pacifica app was approved, and we start developing on the app next week. The first app that will roll out will be a multiple apps that will have live streams from all the stations and also geo-centralized push information for events and news items. All the stations will have access to the app for updating headlines, news reports, announce special programming. We found this is the most cost-effective to do one for the whole network rather than develop one for every station. Hopefully this will be rolled out soon. It will be for the iPhone and Android. I look at this as an opening, hopefully, to develop an all music stream and an all Spanish stream that will be accessible on the app as well. And I think it's going to be a really easy way to get it into the app. Second thing was the property that Livia was discussing. I got a chance to see that too. And I want to give her my 100% encouragement to follow through on this. I don't know if she mentioned perhaps Rodrigo was willing to give some of his expertise. Didn't she talk to you about that?
She
said you're a fantastic contractor and would be a good asset. If that could work out, I would thank you to give your input on it.
Sure.
From what I saw, it's an old dilapidated restaurant with a lot of insects and mold and just needs to be redone. But I don't know much about real estate, but it seems like in the middle of Berkeley, right by a university, it should be rentable, and that would be a source of income rather than drain on the network. So I just work for that. The other thing was lawsuits. We found out there's about 7 or 8 lawsuits pending in the network. The one I do want to mention, I can't mention any names, of course, is a pending lawsuit with someone that was at or is at KPFA who may be looking for employment at another Pacifica station, and Arlene and Andy Gold, the legal rep, said that as part of the settlement would be a clause that could be.
I was just going to say a clause
put into lawsuits that if people do Pacific or they can't continue to work or seek work within Pacific. That's all I was going to say. Because there were people that have made, I have a move for it over and over again. That's what it's trying to avoid. Okay? And finally, the budget. We look at the budgets from all the stations. A lot of times we're told that KPFK is the healthiest and most good station network. That doesn't turn out to be the case. It looks like KPFT is the only station that's operating either flat or a little bit in the black. KPFK's projected deficit will be $300,000 next year. Over $100,000 of that is for a new transmitter. Apparently we need to buy yet another one. and WBAI is operating at $100,000 a month. Was it 100 or 200? Over $100,000 a month loss.
You have to do earthquake.
I guess I'll leave it at that.
We have about 4 minutes for comments from the board, and then we have 7.5 minutes for listener comments. I was asked if we could circulate a list. I'm wondering if anybody out there could.
I had guys welders that put a beam across. Pretty straightforward.
What about those of us that can't write?
We are a small
group. All right, we'll just form a line with the microphone as before. Never mind. We'll form a line with the microphone as we have done before. Excuse me. Right now, we're taking comments from the funders.
I hired guys to do the foundation work and stuff, but I did all the change orders and stuff.
Let's have
kept
our
finding stuff like floor joists that were cut off and hanging and just bullshit.
What do you think the station should come back with on Monday as to appropriate financial strategy? That's for Mr. Lexa, Mr. Aaron, and Mr. Don, if she cares to let it.
That does remind me of a final comment I meant to make. From what I understand, too, the general manager has already responded to this motion. The manager from KPFT and the manager from KPFK. From what I understand, the response has been that the stations are stable and there'll be no cuts. I hope that our general manager will give a full report on this because part of this motion invites input from the board on this. That's all I can say to your question. Maybe 30 or 10 minutes.
No idea as to what you would like.
Please use the mic.
Is there no idea, anything you'd want to say, Ali, as to what you would like to see in that report? What is our financial strategy appropriately?
I
do know a number of unnecessary expenses at the station, and I would hope that we would explore all expenses before even considering any types of staffing cuts or redistribution. I did mention some of those unnecessary expenses that are reported to the staff on Thursday.
We have time on the agenda for this whole discussion, so let's do it then. Are there other questions?
No, since we don't have time on the agenda, I'll withdraw my hand.
Is there a gizzard?
Yeah, is there any report in terms of the programming?
Agenda item?
Yeah. For the PNB.
Nothing from the PNB.
Is there any report on programming, in particular the Spanish every month, Spanish language? Was that discussed or no?
Yeah.
No programming. Sorry.
Okay, we basically have time on this part of the presentation. It's 7.5 minutes of public comment. I want to piggyback on what Brenda said. You know, you have to provide us this venue, which might have cost you some money in another place. Don't be cheapskates. Buy something from here. Don't go to the 99-cent store or Fresh and Easy. That's how TF Future supports itself. You know, if you want a snack, if you want a drink, buy it here. Don't be cheapskates. The second point I'd like to point out is that I think there was a fundamental problem regarding programming that occurred which caused KPFK to lose its listenership and its revenue. And that was with the imposition of the Spanish-speaking hours. I think it was a very wrong move to have Anglo-monolingual English speakers all of a sudden tune in and just have 2 hours or 4 hours of the Spanish-speaking broadcast. I think the fundamental thing should have been that they were bilingual. And another thing, too, the Salvadorians or Mexicans who run the program never include local Chicano news that was happening in Anaheim, etc. That follows into my other point, that I want to see how much money each program raises during the fundraising, to see if nothing is developed
by a special program and no listeners call in to make a donation, then evaluate them on that purpose. And then my final point is that, you know, we're living in the world of La La Land. All these Hollywood multimillionaires who are liberal, who are contributing to Obama's campaign, why didn't you hit them up for a 100,000 donation or something like that? Has anyone ever thought of that? Thank you much.
Who here has played the board game Monopoly? What did we learn? It's a teaching game. The landlord's game patented by a Quaker woman in Atlantic City. She patented it. She didn't make any money. She was taken from her as a Monopoly. In the end, three people starve and have no place to live. That's what you're supposed to learn about speculative real estate. The stations that own their property are the successful stations in this network. WBAI is killing us because Silverstein owns the property. It's killing us. We have no business taking assets from this nonprofit educational corporation and putting them into 10 or 15 year leases, which is the only way we can get rid of that area. We should use our space, which we get for free because donors have paid for it decades ago, and use it for our educational purposes. We have no business putting a slimy little restaurant in there, as you described it, and I go to Berkeley 20 times a year sometimes. I'm sorry. I was up there in fundraising 4 weeks ago.
Thank you, Doug. It's always right on point. Okay, I am a socialist. The Green Party is getting a lot of hey-hey at Pacifica, including Amy Goodman all of a sudden. Hi, hey. So I am a socialist. Why is it that socialism is a bad word on KPFK? Why is it that the Peace and Freedom Party that is holding its convention the 4th through the 5th of August is getting no attention here? A roster of candidates never get any airtime on the station. How much disrespect are we going to tolerate? Also, if you look at the 2006 programming grid, you understand, Eugene, precisely what you just said. The only Chicana program was taken off the air with no consultation. The same way that the Spanish-speaking programming, after developing its audience for so many years, was plugged out of its time slot and moved in later without any consultation with them properly or the listening audience. So we already understand how much time. We already understand what the respect is here. Thank you.
Warning board members about approving minutes that you haven't yet read. Once approved, to make a change to approve minutes requires a two-thirds vote, and any redactions don't disappear from the minutes, but have to appear in the strikeout time. So if something bad about you is said in the minutes, it's still going to be visible if you don't get amended before it's approved.
My name is Lopez Patel. I do civic service on uprising, and I'm an intern, right? I'm doing this work and not getting paid, so I ask for $10 an hour. I can't even get that. So it's about generating your own revenue. So here's an invoice from neighborhood councils and how they pay $750 each to KFI or different radio stations to do small PSAs, public service announcements. There's a lot of different ways to do revenue. I tried to do underground university. You guys might have been familiar with that. I get no support. I have to follow with Jesse, who's the only paid staffer who's working on so many other things. There's a lot of, it's always ideas to raise money, right? It's ideas to raise money without execution. We all know this. We all know this. We all feel this. And I think it's amazing that we're talking about austerity and cutting expenses as opposed to thinking about different ways of raising revenue. Right? And we have a listenership. We have people who are willing to buy stuff. There's just so much. So Underground University is something specific that I would like some real support on. We need younger people in here. We can get interns. They can do work. They have fresh legs. There's a lot of opportunity there. And it would be great if we could create some sort of committee or, I don't know what, I hate committees. Right. I understand that. We go to 3-hour meetings and nothing gets done and we're in the same place, but we're more fractured than we were at the beginning of this. I know all this. I'm involved in all this. But undergrad university could be a vehicle that I would like some real support on to get some youth departments to say, and generate revenue.
I want to say I'm a socialist too. In fact, I'm an eco-socialist. I believe we got to protect our whole planet from what capitalism is doing to Mother Nature. We are having our convention. What is doing over here? We are having our convention coming up, the Peace and Freedom Party. And they only been covering one candidate who's running for a party, who's not even a socialist. We need to cover people like Stewart, Alexander. We need to cover people like Stephen Durhan, Christine Lopez. These people are socialists. They could save our planet. We need to transfer from a capitalist state to socialism. We need help. We need our local news team, if we have any left at the station, to cover our convention. It's a three-day convention. It's at 4410 South Bunglong Avenue here in Los Angeles. It's actually Copper City. So please cover us.
Thank you. All right, I'm trying to be tight about the time because we have a lot to cover and some very important issues to address. And the general manager is not here. We do have the general manager's report, the summary.
It was handed out. We have that. I don't have a response to the manager's report. I have a response to his financial report, which was a response to my email to the staff. I know, a lot of shit going around.
I just offered them, nobody
about what are you handing out?
That general manager's I think the pertinent part was actually the proposed budget balancing cuts, which is not in this document. It was a separate document that I forwarded to the board members.
I'd certainly like to speak to that. I have my comments on his thing. We can...
Well...
Hang on. I can speak to that, you know.
I asked if somebody could download the materials that he sent to a computer so we could look at it on the projector.
What do you want to say?
He sent a revised spreadsheet and a one-page document that said that...
The spreadsheet isn't revised as far as I could see. I mean, it's the same financial that we've all seen. I didn't see any. Well, it had a forecast.
In any event, I'm asking if that could be projected. Okay, all right, Mr.
Lester, I want to make one comment on this before I'd like to take your attention to the very last page. We're talking about ways to bring in money. If you look at the second last line, it says non-major fund drive donors have provided $21,875 last year. And part of the mission has generated $96,862. Tell you a little bit about the car donation company. They're fantastic to work with. They do all the work for us. Basically, all we do is we have a link on our website. And we do very, very little to let people know about this or encourage it. We used to have carts running daily to bring this in. I think this is something that's already in place. It's already making almost $100,000 a year. That's a substantial amount. It doesn't take up any air time. There's no controversy about this. I would encourage the board and staff and management to revisit the way we promote car donations and make it a front page, center campaign, especially in between fund drives, because it continues to generate money in between drives and throughout the year. That's all I'm going to say.
No. Sure, I'll make an emotion.
Well,
second.
What?
I'm going to compose it in the form of a motion, but I will leave it seconded.
Mr. Reyes, I just certainly hope that the questions and the information that's going to be provided by Ms. Crossman, that the Secretary made the note of those, that the taking information, this way the GM could answer those concerns and those questions. So I don't know if the Secretary would do that or whether I need to put it in the form of the motion.
I'll take that as much. I'd appreciate it. I know ordinarily the Secretary only takes motions and keeps minutes and the that, but I think in this discussion, since it has an equality of brainstorming and response to major issues facing the station, I would appreciate the Secretary to keep more stuff to do so that the DA can see that.
It's on the first page, but it says, I note that the LSD meeting agenda includes a request for a report on station compliance with the Western Mission Statement Resolution. It says that the GM has been advised that there is a recorded version of it, right? Of the mission that is supposed to be aired, one month ago? Okay, but they haven't taken the time for something so simple to research if there's any. Does anyone in here hear the mission statement every day?
You're not on the queue.
No, yeah. Okay. Let me just finish and then.
You can wait. It's fine. We're not burning.
Okay, that's your answer. On the second page, it says, also on June 28, a meeting was held to start the process of convening a community advisory board CAP. There was small attendance. How small was that attendance? We don't know. It's small attendance, like what? 2-3 people? How many? All right, so. And also, I want to raise on the point that the way they did it was actually to keep people away.
Right.
It was so far, it was like in the middle of nowhere, and then basically that was a move from management, that's a clear move. And the two thing, it has to do with the report in the terms of the new Spanish language programming I'll be bringing up, every time we meet. They just to inform, there is actually in the bylaws for those who do not feel so good with it, in terms of the obligation of every radio station to provide all those communities that are under their spectrum to provide them with their own programming. So, and there is a committees of inclusion too that gotta take care of the diversity in terms of programming and stuff. So there is a failure. Not only at KPFK, it's a failure of the national board in terms of implementing this motion that was passed last year. So I want to raise a point, I want to protest against it, because it's a violation of their own ruling that we have. Thank you.
I just wanted to talk to the Western Highlands and my statement as well. I love this uprising. Really, it's going to be terrific. Because we're all concerned with our station here and how financially the people flow that's coming, we are not for any personal cash. I'm going to make my own position known to the entire board here. What I would like to see is during our next fund drive. I spoke actually with John DeCidio and I grabbed the bite to eat before coming to the meeting. And John mentioned something really interesting. It's continues to have a kind of relationship with the people on air. I know Rodrigo has his fans, Ian has his fans, we can go through the list. It's, you know, we truly appreciate the people that we like. We know that, I know that with John, that some of the meet and greets that have been done have been very successful, and I would like to suggest to Rodrigo and to the other people on his air here, with John, for example, that maybe the board can do some off-air meet and greets. Rodrigo, this would be the perfect venue for you. I'd be happy to help you with it. But I think that as a board also, we have to look at the positive things we have, which is our honor personalities, we're supporting them, and maybe one way to cut down on the number of fund drives on air is to gather those money on a day or two to up from some time. And also, is there a great way to boost your audience by having them get their friends and families also to become members? So, you know, if you'd like to do one, I'd love to help you. So, let me put that out there. Okay? I do have another program I like very much, and I'm going to do something for it. But I do think we do have to look at off-air time fundraising, and I'd like to see us do some things that are positive and not commercial. Thank you.
I want to acknowledge the public speakers, and I really, really want to encourage, entice, drive, and seduce you to run for the LSD, please. And regarding the other donations, when we're up to PNB, I received a write-up of an affiliate station that tripled their car donation by increasing their cards and rotating and handling it aggressively, because in a practical business sense, if the average donation is $75 during a fund drive, a car donation is $3,000 in value. So it's a smaller part of the public that is, has cars to donate. But if you can close that donation, it, you know, it's like closing 5 or 10 or 100 things on a fund drive. So it's a good, easy way to be more aggressive and accommodate our expenses. On the budget, I think we were going to discuss that in a separate session. And, but nobody should jump to any conclusions or fantasize that the people in government, that's the LSD and the PND, that's aggressively going after trying to fire people or something. That's an illusion. It's a delusion. It's just not true. Please lie. What has to happen is we have to protect the fiscal responsibility. We have to protect the fiscal standing of the station and the foundation, so it continues to be there to operate and advocate the mission statement. There's one last thing I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention about the manager's report in listing the program he did, and this often happens. He omitted a special that was done on Woody Guthrie's birthday, where they did like essentially 24 hours, and it was very successful with the public. It increased listenership, and it was a very successful thing. And I think in general, we should be paying more attention, not just to public affairs, but to music and health and spirituality, another programming that we have in some of our cultural programming. This is a station has all of that in its collection, not just public affairs. So, again, the Woody Guthrie thing is a highlight for this week and week in the last year.
I think
we can get the attendance
We're eating up our time talking about this instead of the budget and the real financial issues. So, if that's what you want to
do. Can you speak to the mic,
please? We're eating up our time right now, not talking about the financial matters and the budget. I just want to point that out. You know, the LSD has this responsibility, and, you know, we're moving on. You know, we're not going to have time to do that. This is my response to document from the GM saying it's all good and we're in profit, and I'm not seeing that. And I want you all to look at this chart here. This is how we're going to. This is my comment, Margie. I'm making my comment, okay? You know,
I am.
Thank you. I want you to look at this. This is how the budget. How the money is going to be raised to pay for our deficit by extending our drive days this year from a budget of $80 to 80 days to 95 days. That is how it's all going to be good at the end of the year.
okay? So all of us that, you know, want to cut our fund drive days down, ain't going to happen this year, and the budget that has been presented is predicated on starting at 94 days, okay? This is like, we're irrelevant. We're completely irrelevant, and as a listener representative, I can't support this at all. You know, it's going the wrong way.
Yeah, so on budget, one of the things that was on the previous screen, which was the depreciation, was clarified yet again by our auditor, which said it does not belong in the operating budget. It belongs in a capital budget. When you take that out, you have that extra, I think, $96,000 was on there. So that's part of that reconciliation. Yes, I think it's true that we're going to need a longer fund drive. I personally would also be cautious about overestimating what that will be. It seems reasonable if you add the extra 4 days, you get most of what is projected. I don't know whether it would be all, but I think that all of us are speaking to the budget whenever we speak to how we can raise money. And so along those same lines that I failed to mention in my P&D report is that there are a number of bylaws amendments that hopefully will speak to that. There's a bylaws amendment being proposed, and by the way, these will be noticed on August the 16th, and they will be up on the website on September 1st, one of which is to reduce the size of the LSB, one of which is to reduce the size of the PNB, which reduces, in turn, the amount that we spend on in-person meetings. One of them, which I will propose yet again, is to have more flexibility in the number of in-person meetings that we have. All of that starts contributing to this budget deficit. To respond to what Fred Conger had asked, which was what our positions were on the budget. On the very first day on Friday, my objection to moving ahead with the projected budget cut was because I did not, as a director, have enough information. Also, what we are looking for and what we haven't still done here at KPSK as an LSD is to craft a budget that is based on objectives and on strategy. You can't just cut off the staff because that's the easiest way to do it because they did it that way. That's just not appropriate. And so you have to, and even if cuts were necessary, you still have to do it by objectives, by title, by function, things that we don't even know about yet. And we haven't immersed ourselves in that. I strongly urge us that before we approve the upcoming budget, that we have a full meeting where all we do is find out what's really in that budget, but before that is to have the brain trust on this board to at least ask the question, what is this budget based on, and the things that I have said before in response to the legal and the mission statement. I have asked archives, people at BAI, people at PSW, people at KPSA. Everybody remembers this wonderful part that we used to do with a mission statement that had different voices and was truncated because our mission statement is very long and really bad radio if you just read it straight on. And everybody remembers it. We're just looking for it. And I plan to bring that to a conclusion by this week. Good luck.
Two quick points. First, response to Rodrigo about the P&D meeting. At the last meeting, Arlene was censured. I can't say that it had a direct effect, but she wasn't, in essence, laid off, but she has been let go. So there is a result, okay? And there is a resume for that.
Thank you.
Secondly, I'd like to make my motion and get it seconded and hopefully approved. Whereas the KPSK card donation program is a proven source of income, I hereby move that KPSK revisit its card donation program marketing and outreach, including new on-air card store promotion, online social networking, and e-blast promotion.
Second.
Thank you.
Usually when I bring a resolution with other organizations, my volunteer reaction determines who should get the cut and read it. Because if you make a resolution up and nobody sees it, we have to prove to a number of volunteer, paid, and unpaid staff that we are doing work. So I would like this resolution to be directed to staff, both paid and our volunteers, our interns, and management. I mean, if that would be okay.
Okay, we can arrange to do it. Is there any objection to this collective motion?
No.
Okay, so it's even with that objection.
Can the public comment on the motion before it's passed? That's the rule.
We're not done with it, but as he pointed out, we usually take public comment before a motion. I have this as a suggestion. We're going to hold off on adoption of this motion because I think we want to complete this round of discussion. We'll take public comment, see if any other motions come up. So.
Can the board comment on the motion as well?
Yes, the board can comment. I'll read off the list of who I have on the list at this point. Myself, Fred Slender, John Crenshaw, Leonard Eisenberg, Brenda's on there, and Fred's there, yes, there you go. All right, so we're also pressed for time, so I ask you again, please keep your remarks short. And next one up, I'm going to make a couple of quick remarks. I think that the station board needs to take responsibility for a fundraiser, not just, I like to meet and greet, I think that the board needs to take responsibility for a major dinner-type fundraiser for the station on an annual basis. I am making a proposal, there's nothing going on today, but I want to surface it. I think that the station, I think the foundation should keep a line of credit against our property here in Los Angeles for capital purposes only. Not even the balance of the budget, but in terms of completing all the necessary. Stop interrupting me while I'm speaking, please. Excuse me, people have been fairly positive about listening to everybody while they talk. I would give the same courtesy. I'm not talking about balancing the budget by borrowing money. I'm saying that if you have a capital budget, what a capital budget means is that you borrow money for long-term capital expenditures that you then prorate and amortize over a period of years. I think that we're long past time of completing everything that needs to be done on the transmitter and the related equipment that's necessary to keep it functioning and backed up, and that the way to do that is to take out a loan against the property that will be paid off over a period of time, get all the work done now, paid by all the transmitters that are necessary without putting into an annual budget for this year or next year or last year.
Right.
So that's another proposal I think is very important. I agree with what Ms. Brazon said about looking at the budget going forward. I think that without making cuts in staff, but we have to talk about how the staff is allocated. I think what was said by the listener comment about the need to support volunteers, interns, and the people who come in who are as much the lifeblood of the station. To pay staff, we need to direct the resources of paid staff, particularly production staff, much more to supporting people in the community that want to bring their resources to the station and make them available and bring a new generation of people in. So I think that would be an important priority for the coming year. And finally, I think that since we have quite a few resources allocated to the news department, finding a way to restore local news would be vital to maintaining the mission of the station. Next up is...
Point of order, Chair. We have a motion on the floor that was seconded.
Yes, I said that I'm holding the motions until we complete this discussion. Then we'll take listener comment, then we'll vote on the motions. There might be other motions. Fred Plunder, John Crumshaw, Leonard Eisenberg, Fred Blair, Ben Manita, and Chuck Anderson.
Well, put me back on the list.
We're out of time.